I just want to do God's will.
The kind of revolution that the world needs is a Christian revolution.
If you want a miracle, you've got to expect it to happen.
You're the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, and you rejoice in that reality.
Welcome to Life Today Live. Randy Robinson here. I have a question for you. You ever needed a second chance? And I use the term loosely because, you know, it becomes a third chance and fourth chance and fifth chance real quickly. At least in my life, it has. But, you know, there's good news. Proverbs 24:16 says that the righteous fall seven times and rise again. And that portion of that scripture, I really think is key, because a lot of times, you know, we mess up and we get stuck there. But the promise and the hope of Scripture is that we can rise again. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to offer you some encouragement. I've got someone who has a book that is walking us right through that whole concept. It is called Moving Forward After Messing Up, available wherever you get books if you want to follow up with it. And the author is Chris Rapazzini, and he joins me today. Chris is a professor up at Anderson University and also has a ministry we'll give you a little more information on. But this is encouragement. And Judy, I'm glad you're feeling better. If you're watching us live, you're welcome to jump in on the chat and be a part of the conversation. But Chris, great to have you on the program. Welcome to Life Today Live.
Yeah. Hi, Randy. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be with you.
So the first question, I mean, anytime someone has gone through the pain of writing a book, books don't write themselves. They're a lot of work. And they say, write what you know, one of the cardinal rules of writing, write what you know. So do you know a little bit about messing up?
I do. it's part of my story, part of my family's story. Mm. And so I try to share that in the story or in the book. Yeah. I mean, essentially, my brother and I, we're relatively close in age, but we are very different, 100% different, I'd say. So, you know, I'm a pastor, preacher, I'm married, have kids. And I'm a Christian, whatever the exact opposite of that is, that's my brother.
Wow.
And when our father passed away, when we were teenagers, really, we went our separate ways. Mm. And he went his way and I went my way. And we didn't really talk much since. And so what I try to share in the book is about how we both messed up, but how God is able to give us second chances, both for him and myself.
That's a hard story for one. But the trauma of losing your father, I'm guessing that affected both of you. Walk us through a little bit of that time and maybe why you guys went different ways.
Yeah. Well, so we were both in college at the time, and this was, you know, 20 plus years ago. But I think whenever you lose someone, right, you mourn differently, but you mourn in your own ways. Mm-hmm. And you grieve in your own ways. Yeah. And so for me, I was at Bible college at the time, and I was a Christian. And so where did I turn to for help? Well, I turned to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. The Word of God. Prayer, my friends at the Moody Bible Institute where I went to school. Well, my brother, he went to, we'll just say a state school, and he turned to his, you know, college ways. Essentially, I like to say he majored in college life. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, he dropped out, he got addicted to drugs, is an alcoholic, and eventually he moved to Colorado when they changed some of their laws to make things a little bit more free in Colorado. And that was his group, right? That's who he was able to connect with. And then we kind of lost touch. I mean, we didn't really talk too much, you know, maybe once a year if we did talk. And then eventually he became homeless. Mm. And so it was hard, you know, to be in touch with him. And then I guess I'll say where it really came back together was when our grandmother, so my dad's dad, when she eventually passed away, which is only a few years ago, and it was my job to, maybe as the spiritual person in the family, to reach out and to tell my brother that, hey, our grandmother had passed away.
Yeah.
Or it could have been because I was the only one who at least was still somewhat speaking to him because he had burned so many bridges with the rest of our family. And to make a long story short, I couldn't contact him. I couldn't get a hold of him. And I thought maybe he had committed suicide or something. Turns out he was arrested, had recently been arrested, was in jail. And so that was, so, you know, I had started having a conversation. We started to connect more so then. And that's really where the book kind of picks up, actually. And now, you know, just spoiler alert, he's not a believer, but he is starting to put the pieces back together in his life. And so it was really a testimony to God, both to how he was working in my life and how God was working, hopefully, in the backdrop of my brother's life, of where we are today.
Is he still in prison?
He's not. So he was able to get into rehab, but then got kicked out of rehab and then back into rehab. And, you know, for some of your listeners, this is probably a common story. If you have a prodigal, sibling or child or something like that. But eventually, he did hit rock bottom and he got into a rehab that was really helpful for him. And he began then, in a house with some other guys, and then he became the leader of the house, if you will, the house manager. And then he became a peer-to-peer coach where he helps to coach people through recovery. And now he's the manager of all of the coaches, wow, if you will. So he got certified to do that. So he's able to live on his own now. So, and our relationship is really good. The best it's been probably since we were kids.
Wow.
Where we talk, you know, every week or every other week. And he was able to let me share a little bit about his story as well. He's doing a lot better. Like I said, not a Christian yet, but God's not done with him yet either.
Did he do a 12-step where they talk about a higher power?
I'm sure he did something like that, he's still, you know, he would say he's an atheist. Yeah. And he's kind of moved back and forth from agnosticism and atheism. But I think he's open, and I hope he reads the book. I mean, he's read portions of it because, you know, the portions I talk about him, but really I'm writing to the prodigals like my brother, because I know even if he doesn't read it, maybe somebody's brother or sister will.
Yeah. So here's the, I think, the important question. When you're the older brother in the house, right? Or the father, which I think is really an expression of God. But my point is that as Christians, when we want to love somebody into the kingdom, you know, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. But in the moment, it is very easy, the person who's living a destructive lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, has at some point to come face to face to that and admit it. And you want to get them there because you know that's the beginning of recovery. How do you do that without being the judgmental jerk, self-righteous, religious guy in such a tough situation? Because that's where a lot of people find themselves.
Yeah, and it is so hard. I mean, I remember one day I called up the local Alcoholics Anonymous group in Colorado and I said, "Hey, my brother needs to come to your meetings. Yeah. Like, how can I get him to come?"
Yeah.
And I still remember the conversation because I don't like the answer, but it's so true. And she said, "There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
He has to make the choice on his own." And I didn't like the answer because it was so disheartening. It's like, "Well, I want to do something." And of course, I prayed, and I believe in the power of prayer. I definitely believe in the power of prayer. I don't think my brother would be where he is if it wasn't. I think, though, I could have done more of keeping the lines of communication open.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, Randy, and you alluded to the story of the prodigal sons, and I say that plural, prodigal sons, and in Luke 15, because, yeah, there's two sons in that story. And the thing that I learned in just researching that story and then writing about it is it comes in a connection of stories, right? The first one is about, hey, Jesus says, imagine that there's a man and he lost his sheep and he leaves the 99 to go search for the lost one. And then he brings it back and they rejoice. And then there's a woman. She has 10 coins. She loses one. She leaves, or, you know, she looks for it searches for it, finds it, and then there's rejoicing. And then in the prodigal sons, the son goes off, but nobody goes to look for the son. But if you follow the pattern of the story that Jesus is telling, somebody was supposed to go and look for the son, just like somebody was looked for the lost sheep, looked for the lost coin. Who was supposed to go look for the lost son? Well, it was the brother. And because the brother in the story represents the Pharisees, right? The righteous people, right? Yeah. The people who thought they were close to God.
Yeah.
And yet the brother stayed home. And, you know, I still get emotional thinking about that story because whose responsibility was it? Where did I mess up? Well, I messed up by thinking I was righteous and dragging my feet and going after the lost brother.
So
that's where that story comes in. So what can you do? Well, yes, I think pray, but I think you can continue to keep those lines of communication open, going after them, searching for them, even if, yeah, they slam the door in your face over and over again. It's that continual repetition of you search and you search and you search. And then when they come home, there's rejoicing, not just here, but in heaven as well.
I have never heard that take on that story. And I've heard that story a million times, right? Was that something that God just showed you in that? A conviction in a good way?
It was definitely a conviction on me. Now, I can't take credit for that. You know, I read it in some commentaries. But I think even Tim Keller might talk about it in one of his books. But, you know, you just follow the pattern that Jesus is doing, and somebody's supposed to search, right? The point of the parable is the Pharisees, you know, those who thought they were the ones who were righteous, right? And yet, they stayed home. They didn't care about the poor, you know, the outcasts. And in our world, they would be, you know, the alcoholics, those who are addicted to drugs, and those who have messed up in their lives. But that's who I think Christians, I mean, that's who we need to be searching for and going after.
So two different places, right? Obviously, where you're at and where your brother's was at. But both of you messing up in a sense. How did the moving forward look like for you?
Yeah, and it's still, you know, God, I would say, is still working on me with that. I think it's putting one of the things that I think God has helped me with is one is to help me to become more humble and forgiving, right? Forgiving my brother for the pain that he caused my family, right? Particularly my mother, right? So here's my mom. She obviously lost her husband. And then she lost a son too, essentially. And, you know, like, I mean, you know, Mother's Day wasn't too long ago. And, you know, there were many Mother's Days where, yeah, she didn't get a phone call from one of her sons, right? And he could have done it. He could have picked up the phone, said, Happy Mother's Day. Or, you know, sometimes there were phone calls and there was times when she didn't want to be on the other end of that phone because, she, you know, he would just go off on her for whatever reason because he thought, you know, he was entitled to this and entitled to that. And, you know, I mean, you can just imagine, you know, when a father dies that, hey, a son thinks, okay, well, all right, what's mine, right? And my brother was, you know, he was very selfish at the time. And yeah, she was a victim of his addiction.
Wow.
Yeah. So having to forgive him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and to work towards restoration, which, you know, so, but here's a question. You mentioned humility. I've heard some things about humility that I go, I don't think that word means what you think that word means, you know? What's the difference? What is real humility, and maybe what is some of the false humility that we see?
Yeah, well, you know, some of the, like, it's funny because, you know, if you go on a lot of social media today, people, I think, are trying to express humility. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll believe in the best in them. But that's not humility at all, right? When you post about how, you know, you let this person or you bought this thing for this somebody, you know, for somebody, that's really false humility. You're trying to just do that for for your own sake, for your own name, right? To get whatever clicks, likes, to get pats on the backs, to get appreciation. But true humility is, well, just as C.S. Lewis says, you know, thinking of yourself less and putting others first, right? It's, and really humility and I think honor go hand in glove. And that is, I'm going to honor somebody. I'm going to put them first. And what do they care about? What is important to them is what's going to be important to me. And so, yeah, humility, I think, is a huge thing, particularly, you know, for believers, because a lot of times we think, hey, we've got it all together, right? We, you know, we're right with God, right? But, and honestly, we are one bad decision from screwing up our lives big time. And so we need to be humble and know that we don't have it all together, that we need a God of second chances, and we do blow it, and we need to ask for forgiveness for those whom we've hurt.
Yeah. I recently, a pastor called out another pastor very publicly and very surprisingly, like he did not see it coming, but he started it by saying, now, I hate to be the one to have to do this. And I'm like, no, you love doing this. You do this all the time. This is a pattern. And it's like, sometimes humility just means shutting your mouth, you know, yeah. And maybe just pray for someone or talk in private. And some of the stuff that goes on, we do online, and I know I've probably done it, but I try to avoid it. And it just, it gets in the way. I do think it just gets in the way of so much. But here's my question on the after we mess up, right? You talk about second chances. What is the hope that you see in Scripture that we can rise again, no matter how many times we fall?
Mm. Well, you know, when I thumb through the pages of Scripture, what I see is a bunch of people who have messed up, right? I mean, essentially the Bible is a book about people who've messed up big time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just go through the gamut, right? Like, all right, Adam and Eve, did they mess up? Yep. Yeah, they did. Cain and Abel, yep, they messed up too. Noah, yep.
Abraham.
Let's see. Abraham. King let's David. Hit the big ones, right?
Right.
David.
Right down the line.
Yep, he messed up. Yeah, the apostles, Peter, yeah, he messed up too, right? I mean, they all did, right? And yet, God continues to give them, like you said, second, third, fourth, you know, multiple chances, right? He's always there. I love the story, you know, particularly in the Gospels of Peter. You know, he denies Christ, you know, by the charcoal fire, you know, while he's warming himself while Jesus is arrested. And then just a few days later, they're on the boat. Jesus has been resurrected. He returns and he's standing there on the shore saying, hey, cast your net to the other side. And Peter realizes it's Jesus. And then, you know, Peter swan dives into the water, right. Goes to the beach. You know, they have a little breakfast there. But there's something other than just fish waiting for Jesus or waiting for Peter on the shore. It's Jesus. And he's waiting to restore Peter and to give him another chance. You know, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he says, yeah, I do. And he says, okay, well, go feed my sheep and feed my lamb. Take care of them for me. And he gives him another chance, right? And where would we be without Peter, right? And, you know, he gives him another chance. I mean, gives Paul another chance. And there's just chance after chance after chance, or opportunity after opportunity that God gives to people who've messed up. So if you're like me, if you've ever messed up, God is there. He's standing on the shores of our lives, just waiting for us to swan dive in and walk with him the rest of the way.
And you know, one thing I love about that is after Peter had denied him three times, Jesus asked him that question three times and let him reaffirm, you know, his commitment there. And I think that was, sometimes when we read that, we think Jesus was really pressing him. No. I think he was giving him that sense of redemption, of restoration. In that process. But let me ask you this, because there's the other thing he did, and I think this is key when we mess up, and I want your thoughts on it. When he saw Jesus waiting for him on the shore, and Jesus liked to eat. I don't know. It's like Brad Pitt in the Ocean's 11 movie. He's always eating, right?
He's always eating.
But to me, and that satisfies not just our soul, but our bodies, right? That's not my point. My point is that you said that Simon Peter, like, he jumped in the water, he swam to shore, right?
Yeah.
So often we're like Adam and Eve. We mess up, we want to go hide.
Yeah.
What does it do when we just dive through everything? We leave everything and we just run after Jesus after messing up, because that's not, I think, our nature, you know? I think we're more the hiders than the divers. But what does it do when we run to him after messing up?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think the people, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is what people struggle with the most, like in Adam and Eve, is denial, right? We try to deny that we've messed up. And so we have to identify reality, right? And we have to name, this is what's actually going on, and name it. And that's why, I talk about, hey, there's problems and then there's conditions. A lot of us, we think that, like for my brother, you know, I'd say, he thinks that alcohol is the problem or drugs are the problem. And they are. But there's something deeper, and it's a condition, and it's a sinful condition. It's the sin from within. That's the major thing that's going on, is his internal condition of sin. And so how do we then go, once you recognize that you are a sinner and you have fallen short, it's then that you realize, wow, God is there and he still welcomes me. He still wants me. He wants me to be part of his family. He wants to give me another opportunity. And when you recognize how, you know, your own sinfulness, yet how much grace God extends and gives, yeah, it's then that, yeah, I'm going to run to him. I'm going to swim now. I'm going to get as close as I can to him, because he's there with open arms waiting for me.
Yeah. And you said the key word there. It's grace. It's grace that saves us. It's grace that picks us back up again. It's all grace, which gives us no room to boast of our own doing. But it also gives us all the room in the world to dive in and swim towards him every time, over and over again. So no matter where you're at, if you're watching right now, whether you're live or in the replay, I want to bring something up real quick, because we have a prayer line here at Life Outreach International. If you're in a place where you're like, man, I have messed up, and I'm hearing this today, and I want to dive in. If you want someone to talk to, you can pick up the phone right there. 800-947-LIFE is the telephone number. I don't know what that equates to. 5466, I think. I don't have a phone in front of me. Or you can go to lifetoday.org. But we have people all the time who will pray with you wherever you're at and encourage you. And you just need to know that what Chris is talking about, man, this is it. It is that second chance. And that second chance is today. And don't stay in the boat. You know, if Peter would have gotten ashore a lot slower, or maybe never at all, if he hadn't, you know, just jumped in and pursued Christ. And that's, you may be in that position. So that prayer line's there for you. You can talk to somebody. And of course, Chris's book is available. I also want to show you his website for his ministry. Looks like this, and the URL is faithfulstepsforward.com, Faithful Steps Forward. But if you're, man, if you're in that place, don't hesitate. Jump in. Run to Christ. The grace is already there for you. It's way more than anything you've ever messed up. You're breathing. You're not too far from God. So I just want to encourage you wherever you're at. And if you know somebody that needs to hear this, you know, hit that share button and say, look, just listen, because there is grace out there for you. You're not too far gone. Just, you have the joy, the purpose, the forgiveness that's waiting for you. You have no idea the depths of it and the beauty of it. So just don't delay. Chris, is there anything you want to add? I appreciate this is such an important message for people to hear. Anything you want to add before I let you go today?
You know, the only thing I think I can add is the book in the dedication. You know, the publisher said, hey, who do you want to dedicate this to? And the best thing I could say is, because of course my brother, but I write this. This book is dedicated to all those courageous enough to turn their setback into a comeback. This book is dedicated to your inspiring journey, because it does take courage. It takes courage, but God wants to take your setback and turn it into a comeback, because he's the God of second chances.
Love it. That's the truth. Hope you hear that today, and I hope you share it with someone else. If you haven't liked, followed, or subscribed, do that. You'll get notifications of more encouraging interviews like this. And check out Moving Forward After Messing Up, available wherever you get books. We'll see you next time here on Life Today. Body, mind, and soul.